Meg will come and share our scripture and then lead you in a response at the end.
A reading from Acts 2, verses 1 through 11. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. Of God, come to us and among us again. Blow through us with your wind, cleanse us with your fire, empower us to witness to your love in the ends of the earth."
So as I said to the children, this was the day the church was born. Not church as individual churches, congregations, but the church, universal, all around the world, all across space and all time. Those first disciples, those first believers had stayed together after Jesus left, waiting, watching, praying, laying low, I think, not wanting to capture the attention of the Jewish authorities that had killed Jesus, not knowing what was coming, what to expect. They could not make it happen. They had no control of God's timing. They simply knew that Jesus had told them, wait, watch. And so they waited and prayed together in that uncertain time. And then came the Jewish festival of Pentecost, or Shavuot, 50 days after Passover, a celebration of the harvesting of winter grains, but more liturgically important, a celebration of the giving of the Torah, the law, the covenant God made with the Jewish people, to be in relationship with them. It was a pilgrimage festival in that day when the temple was still in Jerusalem, and so all who could tried to get to Jerusalem to celebrate this festival. So Jerusalem was packed with people from all over everywhere. And then suddenly that morning, the rushing wind, the tongues of fire, and the Holy Spirit came upon that group of followers who were gathered in that upper room praying and waiting. We can't really imagine it, can we? Anything I've ever seen in a movie trying to represent Pentecost looks hokey. It just, we can't really imagine it. What was it like? How did it feel? How did it sound? What did they actually see? What we do know was they experience power, transformation, energy. They were caught up in it. And they rushed out into the street and they began shouting and praising God for all that God had done through Jesus Christ. And all these people who were packed in Jerusalem, who were in the neighborhood, heard this noise and gathered around going, whoa, what's going on with these people? In fact, the part we didn't read was some of them said, they must be drunk. And Peter says, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. So they weren't drunk, but it seemed that kind of like just loud noise and excitement and energy. And they heard them speaking in their own languages, telling this amazing news. Not Aramaic, not Greek, not Hebrew, their heart languages, their hometown languages, the languages they spoke since they were little children. Those of us in America, I think, are so used to English being the norm that we probably don't even quite get this. My experience with refugees from Myanmar, from Burma, while I was still in Rochester, gave me a little more appreciation. Chin State alone, which is in northern Myanmar, has 80 different dialects. 80. Myanmar as a country has something like 300 different variations of things that people speak. So everyone of any age speaks at least two or three languages, right? You've got to at least know some Burmese, or you've got to at least, you know, so they always know more than one, just as it was true here. And yet there is that language that is the language of your heart, the language you've heard from your mom from the time you were a little child. And that is the language that they heard this news coming in. This Pentecost is the Tower of Babel reversed, isn't it? The story of the Tower of Babel is a story of languages given to create confusion so that people could not think that they could work together to reach all the way up to God. This is the reversal. This is languages being given to bring people together, to understand each other, to join with each other. This is spirit-filled community for the whole wide world, not just for Israel, but for everyone. The implications of this day play out throughout the entire New Testament, actually throughout church history, do they not? The notion that all of us everywhere across the world are united in one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We Christians have done a lot of recreating Babel, creating divisions, but the Spirit's movement is always toward community, connection, coming together. Jesus said, when just two or three of you are gathered together, I am there in the midst of you. Many of you have just as good a story as I do of experiences you've had, of knowing feeling that connection with someone else or some other people whose culture is different, whose language is different, whose background is different, and yet through the Spirit there is that joining together. I shared the other week some stories from our recent trip worshiping in two Maronite Catholic churches in Lebanon. Everything in Arabic, the only word we knew was Alleluia. And yet, there was this sense of community and commonality in the Spirit. We also worshiped in Assisi, Italy, in a couple of different services. And I shared about the joyful Franciscan monk who was leading the music in the Basilica of San Francesco. I spoke to him afterward. He couldn't understand my English, but when I said thank you and pointed to my heart, he broke into a huge smile and grabbed my hand. With those refugees from Myanmar and Rochester at Lake Avenue Baptist Church and in their homes when they would have Thanksgiving services on a regular basis in different homes, what we agreed on pretty quickly was you don't need to translate prayer because prayer comes from the heart. And whether you understand the words or not is what's important. What's important is our hearts joining together when we pray. And so I learned to worship in Karen and Chin and Kachin and all sorts of languages I didn't know at all. The Spirit brings us together, bridges differences, works to build connection and understanding in relationship. The Spirit is also always mysterious, never to be controlled or pinned down. Spirit is the breath of life. We see it blow, but we cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going, Jesus said. Spirit cannot be explained by theology or creed. Spirit is best known in stories and symbols, energy and actions. Wind, fire, movement, witness, lives transformed, community created, divisions broken down, new possibilities. The novel, The Shack, by William Young, it's also been made into a movie, has these very evocative characters for the different aspects of God. Most often in that story, the Spirit shows up as an Asian-ish looking woman, shimmering with clothes the color of the rainbow, never quite touching the ground, dancing on the wind. One day I made the connection to a piece of artwork I have hanging in my office, a Tibetan woman dancing on the mountainside of the Himalayas. I see her now as one symbol of the Spirit, but the Spirit shows up in all sorts of looks, in all types of ways, always moving, always mysterious, and always seeking to move us, to transform us, to empower us. So the question to consider, how do we need to be moved this year? What energy do we need? Whose languages do we need to learn to speak? Whose hearts need to be touched by our actions and our words? What blessing of Pentecost does the Spirit want to give us right now? And what do we need to do to be open and receive? Jan Richards is an artist and writer and teacher. This is her blessing for Pentecost this year on her blog. When we breathe together. This is the blessing we cannot speak by ourselves. This is the blessing we cannot summon by our own devices, cannot shape to our own purposes, cannot bend to our will. This is the blessing that comes when we leave behind our aloneness, when we gather together, when we turn toward one another. This is the blessing that blazes among us when we speak words strange to our ears, when we finally listen into the chaos. When we breathe together at last. What might it mean to breathe together at last? Us as a community, but also us as a world. Can we remember what we first thought when COVID started happening? That recognition that we all breathe each other's breath all the time? What does it mean to breathe together, to come together, to receive the Spirit's blessings?